Edge of Eternity by Ken Follett. Read for you by John Lee. 1961. Rebecca Hoffman was summoned by the secret police on a rainy Monday in 1961. It began as an ordinary morning. Her husband drove her to work in his tan Trabant 500. The graceful old streets of central Berlin still had gaps from wartime bombing, except where new concrete buildings stood up like ill-matched false teeth. Hans was thinking about his job as he drove. The courts, sir, the judges, the lawyers, the police, the government, everyone except the victims of crime, he said. Under communism, the courts ought surely to serve the people. My colleagues don't seem to realize that. Hans worked for the Ministry of Justice. We've been married almost a year, and I've known you for two, but I've never met one of your colleagues, Rebecca said. They would bore you. They're all lawyers. I'd like to meet them all the same. I'll arrange something, he said. Hans had been the first man Rebecca met who matched up to her father. He was confident and authoritative, but he always listened to her. Men who worked in the government were usually hardline communists, but Hans, surprisingly, shared Rebecca's political skepticism. When they had been dating for a year, Rebecca wondered why he did not ask her to marry him. She had then been 28, he 33. So she had proposed to him. He had been startled, but said yes. Now he pulled up outside her school. It was a modern building and well-equipped. The communists were serious about education. Rebecca came from a political family. Her grandfather had been a social democrat member of the Reichstag until Hitler came to power. Her mother had been a city councillor during East Berlin's brief post-war period of democracy. But East Germany was a communist tyranny now, and Rebecca saw no point in engaging in politics. In the staff room, she checked the emergency timetable on the notice board. Her subject was Russian, but she also had to teach an English class. She did not speak English, though she had picked up a smattering from her British grandmother, Maud, still feisty at 70. This was the second time Rebecca had been asked to teach an English class. The first time, she had used a leaflet handed out to American soldiers, telling them how to get on with Germans. The pupils had found it hilarious, and they had learned a lot, too. Today, perhaps, she would write on the blackboard the words of a song they knew, such as The Twist, played all the time on American Forces Network radio, and get them to translate it into German. The school was desperately short of teachers because half the staff had emigrated to West Germany, where salaries were 300 marks a month higher and people were free. And it was not just teachers. Doctors could double their earnings by moving west. The story was the same in industry and even the armed forces. It was a national crisis. The deputy head came into the staff room. Bernd Heltz was probably Rebecca's best friend outside her family, a slim, dark-haired man of 40. "Listen, everybody," Bernd said. "Bad news, I'm afraid. Anselm has left us." Anselm Weber was the head teacher. He was a loyal communist. Heads had to be. But it seemed his principles had been overcome by the appeal of West German prosperity and liberty. Bernd went on, "I will be taking his place until a new head can be appointed." Bernd was ruled out because he would not join the Socialist Unity Party, the SED, the Communist Party in all but name. For the same reason, Rebecca would never be a head teacher. At lunchtime, she took her sandwich to the head's office and sat down across the big desk from Bernd. "Aren't you tempted to leave?" Rebecca asked Bernd. "You're divorced, no children. You have no ties."
"I've thought about it. Who hasn't?" he said. "How about you? Your father works in West Berlin anyway, doesn't he?"
"Yes, he has a factory making television sets. But my mother is determined to stay in the East. She says we must solve our problems, not run away from them."
"What about your husband?"
"He's dedicated to his job."
"So I don't have to worry about losing you."
"Good."
Rebecca found the letter in her pigeonhole at the mid-afternoon break. The single sheet of paper was headed Ministry for State Security. This was the official name for the secret police. The unofficial name was the Stasi. The letter came from a Sergeant Schulz, and it ordered her to present herself at his headquarters office for questioning. Everyone in East Germany knew about these letters, and everyone dreaded receiving one. It meant she had done something wrong, perhaps something trivial, but it had come to the attention of the watchers. The police attitude would